Now, Brunch with the Tour. Brought to you by TPC Sawgrass and World Golf Hall of Fame on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
The Chief Operating Officer of Business Corporation of the PGA Tour, Chris Reimer, in the house today.
Also sanitation and ecology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and one of the red coats.
Yep.
Former vice chairman.
Correct.
Of the tour of the players back in 06.
No, 74.
In 74,
yep.
When 74. It was at the Jacksonville Open.
Correct.
Is here today with us.
Me and David Lamb hanging out.
Correct.
Yeah.
How are you, friend?
I am great. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well.
Yeah.
All's well in the golf world. What in the hell? Xander. I was rooting against him because I didn't want to say his name on the broadcast Sunday night.
Schauffele.
Come on, Xander S. Lose.
Chopping broccoli.
Yeah. But Xander, who's been playing fairly decent golf, kind of comes out of nowhere and wins at Greenbrier.
Yeah.
By the way, do you know they have falconry at Greenbrier?
I did hear that. It was some guy, Mickelson? Was it Mickelson
what
who said?
Blazes, dude. I mean, that commercial ran more times.
That was more than the standing in the Hall of Fame Rory McIlroy PGA Championships.
Yes. You know they have falconry at Greenbrier? Yeah, Phil, I know that for the 47th time this weekend.
I'm aware.
Thank you.
Can I get the percentage, you think, of America interested in falconry? I mean, seriously, like 0.001.
I don't know, but if they got
so
falconry.
So what is falconry other than you can make it land on your arm?
You know you're in West Virginia.
I don't know.
You know you're in West Virginia when an excursion is falconry.
I would really enjoy, like, if I could walk around with a falcon
yeah.
on my shoulder that
That'd
could go
cool.
get me stuff.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
Falcon.
Yeah.
Go.
Get my pen.
You're like the
falconer.
Is that falconry?
Go.
Yeah.
You're like the falconer
exactly.
from the old Saturday Night Live.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Falconry. Diet Coke.
If you could, teach the falcon to poo on someone else's head, that would be like bomb people.
Go, that'd be awesome.
Go attack people.
Yeah.
Now
poke
you're
their eyes out.
Now that's falconry.
That is. I'm going to talk to Phil about that.
Falconry is blowing a 28-3 lead.
That's
oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah. Comes in a brave shirt.
Yeah, it just happens. You know. Mm.
Although Xander Schauffele,
yes.
another 20-something, you know, 24-year-old, he gets another victory. It just shows the young talent
oh, the tour's
that's
healthy.
Out there.
It's healthy, friend.
It is healthy.
You know, I saw this on your not on the PGA Tour.
The interesting to see Schauffele's staying power.
Correct.
But,
No, I'm just saying. He's had three great weeks, two top fives, and then a win. But
you think
played
he's
well
the,
at the
you
US
think
Open?
He's the next
no,
the
no,
big
I'm just
four?
Kidding. Is he going to be just, yeah. you know, is he going to win five times ever?
Let me ask you this. Well, hold on. The LPGA Tour, I saw this week for some odd reason, but 17 of 18, like, first-time winners or something. Some incredible.
This year?
Yeah.
Wow.
Or different. Well, maybe it's different winners.
That's
what it is.
Yeah.
Different winners.
Yeah.
17 of 18 different winners. But back to Xander Schauffele. Is he coming up the ranks, was he an accomplished? Was he a watch out for this guy? Was he John Rahm, if you will, or no? Is he kind of a out of nowhere guy?
He's
been
grinding
out
there. Yeah, I don't
think
he's out of nowhere. I mean, he's 24, so he's not 21. You know, coming in right out of college, he's
college. Please for Xander Schauffele.
That's a great question.
Okay,
any ideas?
Was that the University of Madrid?
Say Wake Forest.
Yeah, Xander. With a name like Xander, I think it's Athens University.
Xander Schauffele, chopping broccoli.
Albany.
Finished fifth at the U.S. Open.
But that's the first time we ever heard his name was U.S. Open.
Yes.
Right. First time we ever heard it. And
correct.
And he got up there and then surprisingly stayed up there.
I don't know.
And then he came back the next week. Did he have another top 10?
I don't know.
He had a 14th at Travelers, a 35th at Quicken. And
the hell
and
are you
wrong
talking?
Guy. It was a poor Google
doing?
Search. The first
damn
result
it,
I read, and it was wrong.
You.
A fact error. It was Long Beach State
these.
And San Diego State.
Oh, I heard that actually during the during the Open, they said.
A different Xander S. came up in the Google search.
I mean, I'm looking at it right here. I'm going, God, he's from San Diego. Why'd he go to Albany? Huh. Why does it say he went to Long Beach State?
Yeah.
I look over at Sticks,
San
and again,
Diego
I
State.
See the panic in his face.
He was an All-American.
No panic.
Trying to add something to the program. He choked again.
You got Sticks,
us.
Is what you did.
Albany seemed awkward to me.
It seemed awkward.
Yeah.
I
how
Diago.
Many Albany PGA Tour guys are there? None?
Probably none.
Does Albany even have a golf team?
SCC Georgia Tech, a rambling wreck from Georgia Tech and a hell of an engineer.
Oh, man.
Finished 31st on
Red.com
Tour last year.
Got Sticks.
That's awesome.
Sorry, Reimer. Sorry that he's done it with Brunch. He's
Xander Schauffele.
Some say Xander Schauffele is the next
Sticks. Don't stop
Matt
trying.
Every.
Don't stop trying, Sticks.
Yeah.
Seamus Power.
Keep it up.
Why would you go there?
Yeah.
We kind of swept that over that. The rug. We're past all that.
Yeah.
Sheamus had a good tournament last week.
Bringing
by the
up
way.
Old stuff.
Yeah, Sheamus.
John Deere Classic this week.
Old wounds.
Yeah, I told you, Matt Everett was even worse.
Xander Schauffele, by the way, to his credit, had a wonderful shot on 18 and birdied coming in, if I'm not mistaken, to win the tournament.
I don't like a finish.
Amazing.
I don't like tournaments that finish with a par three.
You don't like a par three?
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. I like him to have to hit a couple of shots to win a tournament.
Well, yeah, I mean,
what
you
if it was like a 270 yard par three?
That was the tour championship.
You
saw that forever at East Lake Golf Club, and 17 was a really difficult hole, so people were just hoping to hang on for par there. And
right.
then 18, it was a 240-yard par three uphill.
Right.
Guys, middle of the green, hope for a par. And you never saw that dramatic birdie that finished the hole. It was, you know, Jim Furyk making an up and down from the bunker with his hat backwards in the rain. That was the drama. Can they make par?
And yeah, I would like to I'd like to make a guy hit two shots under pressure rather than one. That's it. I mean, if you're playing a par three, you got one pressure shot. Yeah, you may miss it, but guess what? If you're playing a par four, you got two pressure shots. So that's two chances for, you know, somebody to make a comeback, for you to go back to the field. I don't like in and on a par three.
Although, with the 150-yard, I think it was, par three, that Greenbrier,
right.
you saw Schauffele stick it close, make the birdie putt. Like, that was a clutch shot.
And then Streff came up and had to do it, and he kind of pitched it
a little bit long. Yeah. And then there was another player who put, I think it was Lovemark, put it in the middle of the green instead of getting it close.
Jamie Lovemark.
Yep. So,
what is the longest?
Bill Lovemark?
Yeah. What is the longest par three on tour?
That's a great question.
I know it is.
I'm going to find that out for you.
How long is too long of a par three?
300 yards.
You can't have a 300-yard par three?
No.
Because some guys can't get it there.
I think
right.
That'd be difficult.
Yeah. I'm just asking.
You can have a 270-yard par three.
That'd be downhill, though, a little bit, right? Like
270? These guys hit three with 270. I don't have a problem putting them at 270.
Okay.
For a par
three. We played at – I played it, you know, on the golf trip.
You did.
Played at Whistling Straits. And I just heard the most amazing story. Our caddy – the second time we played was working for CBS during the PGA Championship.
Okay.
And there's a hole there, number 11, that it's a par 5. It kind of goes down the hill to the bottom of the hill, and then you hit up to kind of a little bit of an elevated green, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, hitting the ball decent. I'm a decent player. You played with me before. I mean, I don't drive it 180 yards. I hit it okay.
Yeah.
But I bombed a drive and hit a good 7-iron layup. I had about 120 yards. And we got down to the bottom of the hill. He goes, "You want to know something amazing? You have the exact same yardage that Jason Day had in the PGA Championship off his drive."
Think about
that.
Oakmont?
I hit driver 7-iron good.
Yeah.
To the spot that he drove the ball to. So he drove it literally probably 150 yards further than
me. He drove it an iron past you.
It's crazy.
A solid 7-iron.
A solid 7-iron by my ball. Mm-hmm. So 150 yards.
And further. That was from the same tee box?
Yes. Now, they don't play it all the way back on that day. Yeah. He wouldn't have put it there that day if it was way in the back.
The longest par three in U.S. Open history is Oakmont.
Correct.
And how long is that one?
240.
288.
Maybe. 288. Well, there you go. See?
That seems long.
See, 270, though, you can play.
I'm sorry. I have to lay up in the fairway.
We would.
We got a nice. I'm sorry.
288 is actually a par three. It's what we're asking, right? That's a question. So that is not a fact error. I got that one right.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Making sure, double checking. I had to double check. Double check.
It's fall from the sky.
It's a breaking news day.
We've not been stixed.
There are tons of great par threes in terms of the toughest par three. Totally subjective question. Here are some top answers that they got. A 235-yard par three, 16th hole at Port Royal Golf Course in Southampton, Bermuda.
We've all played that one.
Yeah, the 207-yard par three, 17 at Bethpage Black. East Lake, 245-yard par 3, 18th hole.
Now the ninth.
Some say this is toughest, too, by the way. The Phoenix Open one because of the...
Well, it's funny. Some of the most difficult, like, feared par 3s are some of the shortest. You look at, you know, the 17th here at Stadium.
Right.
You look at the 16th. Now, that's not feared. That's just kind of the wildest. But
is even the 12 at Augusta. And the one...
Royal Troon has 123-yard par 3, number 8.
That's the postage stamp, I believe.
Is that what that is?
Is that where we're going?
Birkdale.
It's the shortest par 3 in Open Championship golf. It's also one of the most difficult and one of the most famous. The tee is on high ground. A dropping shot is played over a gully to a long but extremely narrow green.
Oh,
set.
Well, that's not the postage stamp.
It is the postage stamp.
It is. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Muirfield has 16th hole, which people have, when the pin's on that far left,
that's kind of like
guys
12.
Guys have a lot of hole. Yeah.
It looks a lot like 12.
It does. It does. Guys have a lot of trouble sticking it on that.
Anyway,
one.
It's just interesting. So 288, though. That's
288 at Oakmont.
See, 270 wasn't overshooting.
Do you almost have to play that as a par four?
No. Those guys put it on the green, every single one of them. Not a player on tour can't hit a 288.
You and I.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long par four.
There's got to be some sort of prevailing wind involved with that.
It's got to be downhill,
well,
right?
Seriously, there's a par four at over at the home course. What is it? Number 15? That plays about 288.
Yeah. We're definitely hitting driver.
That's kind of the Augusta of St. John's County.
Some people say. I'll have to go check it out and render another opinion myself.
Do that.
All right. So Xander Schauffele wins this week at Greenbrier.
Follow up Greenbrier with John Deere.
What did Greenbrier completely I was amazed to revisit those photos from the flooding.
That's nice. That was nice.
That was amazing.
Compared to where they were a year ago.
Golly, they completely.
You talk about, I like to mention it every once in a while, but the impact that these golf tournaments have in their communities, and it's often glossed over, but that tournament specifically, and Jim Justice, who owns a Greenbrier and is the governor, in West Virginia.
Hello, governor!
That tournament specifically was really the heart and soul of revitalizing that community. They took a program that they already had, and they basically took the idea of what they used to do from a food drive and put it towards, creating funds for people to rebuild their homes, to rebuild their lives. So that was really great to see. And even just not only the revitalization of the golf course, which was amazing. They showed the pictures of 18 hole a year ago versus 18 now. But then you hear the stories of people who were trapped in their attics and all the things that happened as part of the floods a year ago when the tournament got canceled. So it was good to see.
You're bringing me down. How much time does Phil spend in his home at Greenbrier per year?
When he's practicing his falconry.
When he is there, he's outside falconrying. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Falconing.
So he gets in there. He probably gets there on a Tuesday of tournament week. And
he's a proud, what do you mean? He's a proud resident.
Well, and he's there for 4 days. He'll generally miss the cut and leave on Friday.
There's some other proud residents, by the way. Bubba Watson, proud resident.
Yeah.
There's about seven of them that are proud residents. I didn't have anything to do with them committing to play the tournament.
They're all in the falconry club.
Yes. They hang out at the Falconry Club.
This week, instead of getting,
a
Falconry.
Off-roading as well.
This week, for those that are, quote,
tractors
inclined to play, they don't get Falconry and casino resorts. They get a John Deere riding mower.
They actually have a riding mower, like, race, or they all get to drive trucks.
They're pretty cool.
The kids get to come out and play.
Nice. Yep. Well, we'll talk more about this week's event, the preamble to the next major, which is on the schedule next week, as we continue with Brunch with the Tour here on 1010XL.
Brunch with the Tour, brought to you by TPC Sawgrass and World Golf Hall of Fame on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Brunch with the Tour continues with Chris Reimer, our friend from PGA Tour Productions. Chris, where is Jordan Spieth at this week's John Deere? Has he opted out of this one?
This is a couple in a row he's done that.
I think he's opted out.
This is the one that he won, right?
This is the one that he went back and defended his championship.
Okay.
And it got a lot of criticism before saying he should have taken the week off to chase.
So he got criticized for not playing.
He got criticized for playing.
Now we'll criticize him for not playing. Okay.
But at that point, he was chasing the Grand Slam. He had already won the first two majors of the year.
Yeah.
He got criticized for, should he have been playing the John
Deere. It cost him the British Open?
That's what they're saying. Okay. Missed the playoff by one stroke, and that would have been a different had he not gone back and won the John Deere. But you have you got some good names of field. You got Zach Johnson,
who
it's his fifth major, and Steve Stricker, it's his fifth major.
Yeah.
You look at the winners, and it's guys that aren't necessarily that long. I think that fits the course pretty well. But Ryan Moore won last year.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Spieth obviously has two wins there. Steve Stricker won three straight titles at one point, and Zach Johnson has won several times as well. So it's kind of that kind of golf course. It's also a tournament that you see the amateurs, the big names, the guys that are coming right out of college and expecting to go right to the PGA Tour. They often play in the Masters or the U.S. Open as amateurs, and then this is the time of year where they turn pro and start getting sponsor exemptions. So there's names like Wyndham Clark and Maverick McNealy, Nick Hardy, Dylan Meyer. Those are amateurs that are now starting to look at pro careers.
Mm-hmm,
you don't know them now, but in the next year, one of those guys could be the next John Rahm, the next guy to come out and just make his earn his card without without having to go through a lot of qualifying stages.
This may be an unfair question, but is there a kid out there right now who is doing incredible golf things that we can't wait? Like
John Rahm.
Right.
He's the one right
but
now.
But no, he's on tour. I'm talking about a guy who's, you know, U.S. amateur and two straight NCAA individuals or something like that. DeChambeau, we thought was going to – he's really struggled, by the way. He's not done near of what a lot of I think people thought he would do when he came onto the tour. Is that fair to say? He was pretty ballyhooed coming on, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly a guy that – because a lot of these guys will flash as an amateur or in one of their first majors, right? Mm-hmm. They make it to one of the majors, and all of a sudden they're up there early on. Justin Rose comes to mind with what he did as a young man at the British Open. But then, you know, you get into the grind of a pro career and all of a sudden it's not as easy as just flashing on the leaderboard. And I think that's where Chambeau was a little bit. Wyndham Clark is a guy who's played really, really well in college, went through his mother passing away. He's a guy that, you know, you could see playing really well and coming out, and you know, he won the 2016 NCAA championship. He led the Oregon Ducks to a team title.
I got one for you too. Braden Thornberry won this year's individual and finished top five at St. Jude. Couldn't take the money. I mean, I don't know.
Somebody
know
to watch out for.
Right.
But Braden Thornberry this year won the NCAA, and then in his PGA Tour debut, top five at the St. Jude Classic, he didn't take because he's staying amateur.
Was the 98 British Open at this week's? Did you mention that we were going past through the winners?
Yeah,
is that at Birkdale?
Let me go back and look.
I'm just curious, like whiskers.
98 was Mark O'Meara.
Okay, you know what?
Inspired by his friend Tiger Woods.
But you know what? That's also well known for. If you remember,
what's that?
Justin Rose.
Is that the is
17
that where
years
he did?
Old amateur? Yeah,
so that was a guy who was an amateur flashed.
So maybe that sets up for Justin Rose this week.
Correct.
I remember also from that venue when Patty won his, remember he was hitting those, they hit that incredible like 5-wood somewhere. It was like late in the round. There's a par 5 and he hit an incredible 5-wood up on the green. I remember him doing that as well.
And that was the week that, you know, Greg Norman took a two shot
like he often did
in the final round.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Padraig Harrington, who, you know, people often forget how many majors that guy won in a
three.
In a pretty quick little
bang.
Stint. Outplayed Sergio
in an
Open.
Didn't he go into the I'm going to revamp my swing thing?
Oh, he does. He revamps his swing. Have you seen
his never
swing
come back.
Right now? His swing right now is he takes that swing, and you know when you're taught, some guys tell you to step forward with your right foot after you swing, like when you're on the range practicing, just to teach you to follow through. He's doing that now in competition.
Oh, dear.
I saw a video from the European Tour where he takes
Artie used to do a little of that.
And he literally steps through all the way through with his right foot. But he's the tinker of all tinkerers.
And Mike has a golf question or announcement for us on line one. Hello, Mike. Good morning.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, boys. How you doing this morning?
Good.
Listen, some serious golf here, and let's all here in Jacksonville pull for him. Is Julian Cerie, who here in Southampton, I've watched for the last 2 years, every day, every morning in the heat, in the cold, out practicing, hitting balls, working on his game on the putting green for hours and hours. He's having a good year over there in Europe on courses he's not familiar with, and he just qualified as lead British Open qualifier.
Yeah, I can see that. That's a good – thanks for reminding us of that.
There's the guy to be pulling for. Everybody.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Certainly one of them. Thank you, Mike. Yeah,
sure
that
Jeff
happened
takes him with his pick next
a
week.
Couple of weeks ago. And I think he's taking the Brooks Koepka route, right?
Yeah.
He's on the Challenge Series. He's not on the regular
tour.
You see
that a lot. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to kind of fight through the ranks and try to qualify, you know. And
that's
got to
be a tough route to go, but why do they do that? Like what?
Sometimes it's hard to find a place to play. You have to go through qualifying to qualify for the web.com.
Gotcha.
You have to go through qualifying just to get on the PGA Tour, Latino America Tour, on the Canada Tour. Those are the feeder tours of the web.com. So if you were to go through web.com qualifying school and not get your card, then what's your next option? Do you want to play on one of those two other tours? Do you want to go to Europe and try to cut your teeth over there? And you know, there's no wrong way to do it. It's just finding the best way that the the tour that fits your game, the courses that fit your game? What's the money situation? Mm-hmm. Where do you feel like you have the best chance to work your way up?
Well, I mean, Julian set the course record at Southampton when he was like 12 or some nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean,
isn't that annoying?
Yeah, yeah, he's been a really, really, really good golfer, and it's nice to see.
Did he go to Duke? Is that where he went?
Yeah, I think that sounds right. And it's nice to see him staying relevant. He may have played like some South American golf at one point. It hadn't been the primrose path that some of these guys have taken, you know, where they're out on the PGA Tour immediately, they win, and, you know, and they can't all be Jon Rahm and Jordan Spieth, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, it'll be fun to watch him in the British Open, and certainly with awesomely root for. Well, we have a lot of golfers here. We don't have that many that are from here.
Right.
Right? I mean, correct me. I mean, settle me a little bit straighter, but Duval and McCumber, that's about it, isn't it? As far as guys that were from Jacksonville, not plenty have settled here. We have plenty of winners that we call, you know, Jacksonvillians or first Coastans. But
I mean,
not that many that are born and raised in Jacksonville.
No,
Julian is
Bud
is
from here. Bud's been here a while.
Yeah, no, that would be one.
Yeah,
Clouk. No, Clouk.
Oops,
Clouky.
Well, I mean, it's still he didn't wasn't out there for as long as McCumber. And
there's been a few though.
And Duval.
Julian is currently 215th in the world ranking.
Who is?
Julian.
215? Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
That's pretty
good. Do you have his stats from the show as far as like money?
Let me ask you something. If you're 215th in the world, you could be playing PGA Tour events then, right?
Sure. Yeah. It's a matter of just earning your card, right?
You can't get in a PGA Tour event on your world golf ranking.
No.
Yeah.
Well, top 50.
Unless it's one of those.
Top 50 get in the world at a bunch of different ones. You get up to top 50 and you're qualifying for WGC. Well,
did he win a European? He won a Euro. He won an event this year. Was it an official? It was a European Tour.
He
event,
leads
wasn't it?
The
it
European.
It wasn't a European Tour event. It was probably a challenge.
Yes.
He won the Czech, the D&D Real Czech Challenge on the European.
And he
tour.
Leads that get you about the European 50 grand? Challenge Tour the Order of Merit.
That is the Challenge Tour.
So I mean that's significant. I mean,
if he leads that, will that get him his card?
It'll get him his European Tour card.
Okay.
And then once you're in the European Tour, you earn – the way that it works is Brooks Koepka did it.
Right.
If you can get on the European Tour and have some good finishes there, there are certain events that if you win, they're designated. You get into the Bridgestone Invitational. You get into different World Golf Championship events. And what you're hoping is that your World Golf ranking gets high enough that you can get in the top 50, because then you get in a bunch of PGA Tour events. You play well enough in those, and you can earn your.
He has competed in 10 tournaments in 11 weeks in 8 countries: Scotland, Italy, Czech Republic, Denmark, Austria, Switzerland, Sicily, and Portugal.
Which is basically like playing North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, Louisiana.
He hasn't missed a single cut on the European Tour.
He's a fabulous golfer.
He's made 103,000 euros.
Actually, it looks like he missed one, maybe.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll root for him. It's good, good to see. All right, Beef.
And we should mention, while we're in Europe, we should mention the absolute smoke show that Jon Rahm put on the field over there this week at the Irish Open.
Yeah.
Oh, a win's a win, and that's another one on a big stage.
That's a good win.
And by the way, and I believe it's the Scottish Open this week previous to the British Open.
The guy Russell Knox is over there.
The fields are better there these 2 weeks than they are here. Are as good.
I would say as good. Yeah, they may not be as deep, but they have as many top-level players as these tournaments do. And it's every bit as difficult to win those events as it is to win,
it's PGA amazing tournament. That anyone, you got to really love the motherland to stay and play European golf if you have the ability to play PGA Tour golf. Because even at this stage, you would think they would have caught up some. The paychecks would shock you how little they make. These guys win an event on European Tour, they win like 180 grand or $200,000. Here you win $1.2 million.
I was talking to the European Tour press officer about it, and he's just like, it's just not a spectator sport at all over there.
Right.
People will go play golf, but it's much more of a thing you just do with buddies. It's like fishing almost. Like, no one would go watch a fishing tournament here in the U.S. and over there for whatever reason. It's just not something that draws a lot of spectators. They'd rather go play than watch. But it is fascinating to see. Like, even some of their biggest events, they just don't have the quite the same financial backing as. And it's difficult. Like you said, it's 11 different countries. It's different taxes. It's different, laws. And it's all these different things they're working with
you're not familiar with. I mean, different languages. Think about every week you're in a different country. It's in that respect, it's not like going from Tennessee to North Carolina. It's
correct. Or even Florida to Georgia.
Yeah, it's a little bit more.
You got all those nude beaches. Gotta be distracting.
Bring folks up to date on the standings. Dines. How have you doctored them this week?
I've done no doctoring.
Mm-hmm.
We always play it straight down the middle, much like Get Smart. Wednesday is our day of integrity here on the drill.
I disagree.
Last week, Sticks really screwed the pooch. He brought home a rock solid $45,000, despite having both guys make the cut.
Wow.
It's tough to do.
It's tough to do. So he maintained the overall season lead, though. The winner for the week was Jeff Prosser. With the combo of Preed and D. Lee.
Nobody does it like Danny Lee.
Danny Lee brought him home $178,000. On the way to a weekly win, still in DAL for the season, so Jeff will pick first for the week. Dan, you got the silver medal this week.
Thank you.
With Kisner and Bigfoot. Reimer, the bronze, with Webb and Fig Jam. I came in fourth with Keegs Falconry. And Dynamite.
Yearly numbers, please.
Yearly numbers, Sticks, your leader, 8.8. I'm in the second position at 8.4. Danny in the third spot, 7.6. Rhyme time at 5.6, and the Prost Man narrowly behind you, Reimer, now less than a mil at 4.7.
All right, here we go.
Fantastic. I will take Daniel Berger.
It's Berger time.
In honor of Jordan D. Armin. God bless her.
2 seconds.
It's Thomas DePeters in the week. Field.
Chris Reimer is second.
My mom did catch me one time when I was little eating a jar of mayonnaise.
I'll go Zach Johnson. It's his fifth major.
Mm-hmm. Daniel, it's to you.
I'll go with Chuck Hoffman.
The Chuck.
Seems like a Chuck Hoffman week.
Yeah, I love Chuck.
Yeah.
Well then, if that's the case, I'm not going to take him again this week because he screwed me. So since Dan took Chuck Hoffman, I'll take Chuck Howell.
The check casher.
He's Chaz. Hoffman's Howell. A Chuck.
Yeah.
Chaz.
Chaz Howell.
You're saying Chaz is more rich.
Yes. Saying he's a Chaz.
No, Charlie's definitely a Chuck.
Yeah.
Charlie, you could go, hey, Chuck. He'd turn around and go, what's up? Charlie,
Charles.
Howell. Yeah. He'd go, it's Charles. Yes. Sorry.
With a sweater tied around his neck.
I call him Chaz Howell.
Pours an apple.
Sticks, you go back to back
mouth.
Here, my friend.
I say,
I'm
going
to go with the reliable Steve Stricker.
Okay.
And let's go with Danny Lee.
Nobody does it like
Danny Lee.
Danny Lee plays Danny every Lee. Single week.
I was going to take Danny Lee, you son of a beast. You can't off. Take my guy like that.
Well, since he was a topic of conversation just moments ago, Dan verifying the first name, I'll take Jamie Lovemark.
Thank you.
You sure it's not Billy Lovemark?
I'm going to go with H&H.
Would you like to see my Lovemark?
Chuck Howell and...
you took Chuck Hoffman.
Chuck Hoffman and the Bulldog Brian Harmon.
Oh, he's hot. I'm going to take the kids.
Nobody doesn't like week. The Kiss.
Kiss.
I'm the Kiss. I'm
the Wiz.
All right, a lot of people that nobody doesn't like.
Yeah, I'll take Ryan Moore running.
Nice job.
Yeah, I'll take him running.
Ryan Moore.
So there we have
there
it.
There it is.
This is the week Fixed. I show the first, second.
Next week, kegs and eggs. Wake up early. Watch some golf.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, next week we'll have the British Open on?
British Open.
Oh, really? That'll be fun.
You're going to bring us some...
kegs and eggs?
Bring kegs and eggs.
I think you brought beer last year, didn't you?
I think I did.
Or something.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it up.
Yeah.
If you think at 9:30 on the morning next Thursday that I won't drink that beer, you are wrong, friend.
I'll bring it out.
You're dead wrong.
Dead wrong.
Taps.
I mean Wednesday.
Cruise, whatever it is.
Yeah, go there. Cruise. Yeah. I mean, only a sponsor.
Brand Synergy.
That's a Brunch for the Tour brought to you by the European Tour. Back with more.